Both Lazarus and the rich man were poor. Perhaps you might wonder how a man who is described as being rich could possibly be poor. Well, each of the men in this parable this morning represent different types of poverty. Lazarus was materially poor, a type of poverty that we are most familiar with. But the rich man, though he was rich in the material things of this world, he was spiritually poor, a type of poverty that is much, much worse than Lazarus's material poverty. Let's take a moment first to look at Lazarus and his material poverty. He is poor in the riches of this world: shelter, food, water, employment, all of those things that we generally think of as being necessary for life in our world. Jesus doesn't tell us why he's materially poor, what's happened to him, what his life situation is, because it doesn't matter. He's just a poor man. Hearing the story of Lazarus, we think about material poverty that we see all around us. And the gospel and the first reading today are, at their very basic level, a call to recognize the poverty in our world, and that we, as Christians, are called to respond to that poverty. We look all around us. We see the tragic conditions of Baltimore City and the poor who live there, and the cycle of poverty that entraps them generation after generation. We look at our nation, parts of our nation where there are poor people who don't have the basic necessities of life. And then you look around the world. Think about a country like Haiti, where there's so much poverty, where they're so lacking in things that we would consider to be basic. The material poverty that we see around us, we have to respond to. The first reading from the prophet Amos this morning, the prophet condemns those who don't respond to those who are materially poor in their midst. And Jesus has the same message for us when he talks to us about Lazarus. My brothers and sisters, we are called to look around us, to see areas of material poverty where we can help. Our church is one of the leading supporters of those who are poor among us through our various charitable outreaches. Supporting those outreaches is really a way that we help address material poverty. As I'm sure you know, you get many solicitations for people who need assistance, and you can't respond to all of those. But what you can respond to is groups and people who are making a real difference in the lives of people who are poor. Think about our Daily Bread downtown that does so much good work to give the basic gift of nutrition to people who are poor. I think also of the Baltimore Basilica, our beloved Basilica, and the Source of All Hope missionaries. Young people who live there and go out into the neighborhood to be friends with people who live on the street. While we may not be able to do that ourselves, we could support an outreach like that. Whatever cause might be near and dear to your heart, to offer the gifts, the material gifts that God has given to you, to support those like Lazarus who are poor. And then we turn our attention to the rich man. We could be tempted to see in this gospel Jesus condemning those who are rich. But he's not doing that. He's not saying that there's anything wrong with material goods or material prosperity. That's not the case. But what Jesus is drawing our attention to here is those who are spiritually poor. Because spiritual poverty is a lot easier to hide, isn't it? Because spiritual poverty happens in here, inside of us. We can be full of all of the riches of this world, have a beautiful house and a great job and go on wonderful vacations and all of those good things, but yet inside, we are just as poor as Lazarus was. Spiritual poverty is much more difficult and much more dangerous. Like the rich man, his spiritual poverty manifested itself in a blindness towards Lazarus, a blindness towards his needs, sitting literally right outside of his door. Spiritual poverty has a much deeper cause, and it has to do with our relationship with God. Where is our relationship with God? Do we put on maybe the trappings of a spiritual relationship with God, coming to Mass and doing all of those things we're supposed to do? But deep down, where is our heart? If God is not at the center of our lives, if God is not at the center of everything that we are, our family, our marriage, our relationship with our children, if God is not at the center of everything, then we are truly spiritually poor. We need to work on our spiritual relationship with God. That's something that needs just as much attention as the material things that we pay attention to in our lives. Our spiritual lives, my dear friends, are so important. And St. Paul, in his letter to Timothy this morning, told us a little bit how to work on our spiritual relationship. He says to Timothy, "Pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience." He says to keep the commandments without reproach. Wonderful advice for all of us who need to work on our relationship with God so that we do not become spiritually poor. My dear friends, we call ourselves Christian, and we are because of our baptism. And that means that we follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was rich, but he became poor. He was rich in being God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and he becomes poor by humbling himself to become man, to be born in poverty, to live in simplicity, and then in the ultimate act of humility, to offer his life on the cross for each and every one of us. In his poverty, he teaches us how to be rich, because our riches come not from material goods, not the goods of this world, but rather our relationship with God, the life of grace. So, my dear friends, the gospel today calls us to care for those who are materially poor, but also to care for those who are spiritually poor. To help our brothers and sisters, to give witness to the faith to them, but also realize that our spiritual lives are very important as well, and that that relationship with God is how we view our world, the basis of how we view our world, but then also the basis of what will happen to us in eternity.